Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No. I will not goad you. This is Wretched Radio. Far be it from me to pressure you into going out to a university campus, joining almost 500 people who have already signed up for our Play the Man distribution to help young men get rescued from the snare of pornography and hopefully get saved. They're free. You gotta pay nothing, including shipping. Why would I pressure you into joining those people? I'm not gonna do it. Are you gonna interrupt me soon?
I think you're goading.
Hold on.
Are you good?
No, I need to like bend over and get some blood into my head. What was with the timing on that? I told you. I'm going to start goading, and then you're supposed to interrupt me and say you're goading people.
I wasn't sure how far you wanted to take it.
When is talking become exercise? Maybe it's your gimpy foot that has affected your brain. What happened to you walking around here? And I'm gone for one day. By the way, thanks, Adam Tyson, for sitting in yesterday here on Wretched Radio. I'm at a funeral yesterday, and you done, what did you do to your foot?
Well, I like sympathy. So I fell down the stairs. Just threw myself down the stairs.
Well, at least you weren't pushed. Let's look on the bright side.
That's
your family didn't shove you down the stairs. So that's something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So you got yourself a broken foot.
Well, it's not broken. It might be a little sprained. I haven't had an x-ray yet, but I'm in a boot.
Jimmy, I'm just curious because this isn't the first time. Were you or were you not holding the railing?
I was not.
Were you or were you not wearing stockings?
Stockings?
Stockings on your feet.
I was wearing socks.
That's your problem right there. You weren't holding the railing and you're wearing socks.
That's right. That's right. With no,
So you went slipping down the stairs.
I did.
So we have nobody to blame but ourselves for this little fiasco of the foot.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to goad you either into maybe holding the railing and not wearing slippery socks down the carpeted stair. I wouldn't goad you in that way. You know why, Jimmy? Because I'm not a goader.
You're not a goader.
I am not going to goad you. I am not going to goad the tennis.
You're so good at it.
Well, I have been told it's a spiritual gift. And I will not goad the tens and tens of people listening to this year's Wretched Radio program. Please get the cards. Visit fortisinstitute.org/playtheman and get to a university campus. We're going to ship you these cards for free. They're really well done. And all you need to go to a campus and just hand it to a young man. Here you go. Hey, did you get one of these? Hey, you might want to take a look at this. That's all you've got to do. And they'll hit the little QR dealy, Bob. That's the official technical term. And they will visit a site. It will have the booklet, Play the Man. It will have the video of Play the Man. Or it will have the audio version of Play the Man. It is free for you to participate. FortisInstitute.org/playtheman. And join, we're, I think, almost about 500 folks have already committed to this evangelistic outreach. Would love it if you would participate too, but far be it from me to goad you into doing that because you don't have an excuse. And the kids are just floundering out there.
I think you're goading again.
Sorry about that. FortisInstitute.org/playtheman. I was in Greenville over the weekend. That town's going bonkers. I'm telling, Greenville went from South Carolina, if you are not from the South, Greenville, South Carolina was started to get rescued almost 20 years ago. It was a tired old town with that main street with a nice river and falls at the end of it. But it was kind of dying. Somebody with vision got a hold of it and started to gentrify it. And we have enjoyed Greenville throughout the years as we've watched it just continue to become a nicer and nicer place. This time we were there, it's like, What happened here to Greenville? There's like more tall buildings. And they're just, it's just everything. And just condos and townhomes and apartments and tall buildings. Did I mention there were tall buildings? Greenville is starting to become a city. It is absolutely booming. Great food town. If you ever visit the South, think Greenville. Saw the Screwtape Letters whilst there. There's a theater in Greenville. Luke Bryan was at the big place. The Peace Theater is their kind of their fancy theater. No, we weren't in that one. It was the smaller one. Four nights of Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis being presented. It was amazing. The dude who played Screwtape, it was about 60, 70 minute long monologue. Just one dude talking the whole time. And there were some, I don't know what you call it in theater, but like he had to hit his marks and there was like timing things. And this was his third performance. And he was hired in May. He memorized like the Screwtape Letters. It's a book that is so worth reading carefully. Why? Because it's a demonic perspective of a believer's walk. But the insights of it are so poignant. One of which was encouraging his nephew Wormwood to gain access to his patient who was now professing to be a Christian. And one of the ways that he wanted to encourage him, by the way, I think there's a little bit of a question as to what Screwtape was actually after. If you're not familiar, Screwtape is he's a higher up devil and he's coaching his nephew Wormwood and how to deal with his patient, a human being. Is he trying to deconvert him? That's the sense of it that I got. That the head demon, Screwtape, thought that he could get the guy unsaved. Seems to be lacking a little bit of clarity on that. Now, Max McLean came out at the end and said, no, well, maybe he just had bad theology. You know, he just doesn't understand those things. And he was endeavoring to do something that couldn't be done. Nevertheless, Screwtape encourages Wormwood to puff up his patient. To gain knowledge for the sake of gaining knowledge so that he could think he's smarter than other Christians. And I went, oh, wow, is that ever true? I don't know if you've seen it. Perhaps you've even experienced it. The smarterer you get with theology, there is a greater danger to become snooty, puffed up, judgmental, which, by the way, this is why I was so thrilled. I was, Scott Aniel was, oh, I've got the story here someplace. Scott Aniel has been named the new president, I believe, of G3 Ministries. He's been there for a bit. He's a scholar. I've met him once. He's a very nice man. Here it is. I think he was Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary before going to G3. Yeah, here's the article. Long overdue, G3 Ministry announces Scott Aniel as new president. And here's what Scott said. G3 exists to glorify God by educating, encouraging, and equipping God's people with biblical truth for biblical living. That's awesome. And then he added, one of the goals for G3 Ministries, I am deeply committed to maintaining our firm stand on first-level doctrinal matters, yes, amen, you go, Scott, while modeling gracious engagement on areas where faithful brothers may differ. Scott's a smart guy. He included faithful brothers. In other words, these aren't issues that would indicate somebody is an apostate, that somebody's a false teacher. He's saying that when we've got differences of opinion with these types of believers, we are going to engage graciously. Amen to that. And I say that because I think Screwtape was right. I think Screwtape identified something that happens to those of us who feel we've pretty much got it sorted. And of course we feel that. Everybody feels that way. We all feel... Otherwise, you wouldn't be swimming in that particular stream of evangelicalism or Protestant Christianity. But for some reason, those of us who are very high-minded about the Bible, very high-minded about theology, very high-minded about God, it's very easy for us to get puffed up. And so to Scott Aniel, I say, salute. Well done, sir. May your tribe increase. Be praying for G3 Ministries. You know they're going through stuff there still. It's just still getting cleaned up. And the church, Praise Mill Baptist Church. Be praying for that church. That the type of thing that happened at G3, it can rock a church. It can rock a ministry. So be in prayer for them as Scott seeks to lead it in a way that stands firm on first-level doctrinal matters while modeling gracious engagement on areas where faithful brothers may differ. So thank you to Screwtape for that insight. But whilst in Greenville, we were speaking with some people about the consistent challenges that we here at Fortis Institute see from people. And you'll never guess what that challenge happens to be. I'll tell you next on Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered book that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today. But just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How providential is this? It's Wretched Radio. Jimmy, can you see my mug? I got my throat coat, T inside of there.
It says G3.
What do you know? I'm using their mug whilst talking about Scott Aniel taking the helm at G3 Ministries. Very glad that a man like Scott is stepping into that role to lead it firmly and graciously. That ain't easy to do, but I will use that as a segue to play The Man, which is a booklet that I wrote. It's also video and audio, encouraging you to distribute a card with a QR code that we will send you for free, including free shipping, to young men on university campuses so they can be set free from the bondage of pornography and get saved, because it is a very clear gospel presentation. You can participate with give or take 500 folks already committed to going to a campus or to a festival or to your town where people gather. FortisInstitute.org/playtheman, which probably gives away the answer to the question that I just asked. What is one of the most consistent struggles that we see people having here at Fortis Institute? That's right. It's porn. When I was just in Greenville, South Carolina, they've got really good food there. And more ice cream stores than before. That should tell you something. I hope Greenville doesn't become like Dollywood. Not that there's anything wrong with Dollywood or the Wisconsin Dells or Pigeon Forge. I'm just saying, I hope that it maintains its southern charm without becoming too touristy. Although I got to tell you, the streets were bustling in Greenville. It was really busy. It's vibrant. It's alive. It's really good to see. So somebody doing something right in Greenville, encourage you to visit, enjoy the food, enjoy the ice cream, as long as they don't proliferate too much. And as we were there, we discussed what people are struggling with. And the answer came flying off of my tongue immediately. It's pornography. Young guys and increasingly young women that are struggling with pornography. This is a scourge. And we want to help people get unscourged because they are in bondage. Would like to share with you, if and you don't mind, from Play the Man. Perhaps this will help you if you're struggling, or it might encourage you to go, I think I'm going to go to fortisinstitute.org/playtheman and get me some of them free cards and go find somebody to give them away to. It's $250 a pack. Just hand them out. Leave them in public places where it's not illegal. Don't make litter, but leave them where people will see. We stopped in a hotel. I think somebody in the group needed to use a bathroom. We weren't staying there. Is that a sin? Can you just stop at a McDonald's to use the restroom without actually buying something at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Okay, because I always feel like that's wrong.
I don't think so.
Well, my conscience says it is. Therefore, it is.
Okay.
And in the lobby, just sat on a couch and there was a coffee table in front of me. Lo and behold, there was a gospel tract. And I went, cool. You can leave a gospel tract on a table for somebody to pick up. Maybe don't want to litter the whole hotel, but I thought it was awesome. And the gospel tract, it was even sound. Fancy that, from Play the Man, which you can get for free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. Chapter 8, evict the enemy. Evict the enemy. If you're wrestling with pornography, you got to kick him out of the ring. You got to get him out. It will do little good for you to train for battle if you continue to let your enemy bunk in your barracks. If you don't kick the enemy out of your camp, you will not only fail to have victory, you won't even get out of boot camp. You're going to get slaughtered. Who's the enemy that is currently residing in your platoon? Anything or anyone who knows your weakness and can easily persuade you to disobey the orders of your commanding officer. What is it that leads you to watching that stuff? Now, you need to I'm not talking about heart issues. That's a different chapter in Play the Man. You've got to examine your heart and interrogate it. What is going on here? Why am I desiring this? I just receive every day, get emails on this every single day. And a young man was lamenting that growing up, he had a porn problem, got married. And he thought he was done with it. But for some reason, those desires are just flooding back and tempting him like a nobody's business. And my encouragement to him was, well, you got to take some time to figure out why your heart desires that garbage. God has given you an actual authentic carbon 14 unit with whom you can enjoy the delights of intimacy. Why would you look at the fake when you got the real? You got to examine your heart. What leads you to this as opposed to that? Why don't you want to make that effort? And by the way, that could be one of the heart reasons. It's just easy. Giving yourself to another human being who will then desire to give herself to you, it's hard work. Porn is easy. Is it possible you're just lazy? Now, that is interrogating your heart. I'm talking about identifying the stuff that perhaps surrounds you, that tempts you, that is used by the enemy to cause you to go, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and look at this stuff. I'm talking about the tools you use to sin. Your phone, TV, computer, internet, beach, pool, gymnasium. These are enemies that need to be destroyed or at least brought under total submission. And I mean now. If you don't have mastery over your electronic devices, it's really easy. Just get rid of them. Get rid of them. I'm not kidding. If you linger at women on TV, cancel your cable. Throw away your big screen. If it's your computer, that's your Achilles, kill it. If you need a phone for work, get a flip phone. At the very least, install anti-porn software that alerts an accountability partner of what you're up to. But if that doesn't do the trick because you're tech savvy and you can figure out a way to get around it, then get rid of your phone. This isn't a joke. If you do not do these things, you will likely continue to stumble and lose the battle. Do you watch porn at work on the company computer? Get another job. Jimmy, you just gave a face.
Well, I was just thinking.
How does that work?
Yeah, that's just odd.
No, it's not. You can be in an airport. These guys that are looking at their phone where nobody else can see. People, this stuff is, it is saturating men's brains. They watch it everywhere and anywhere that they can. It is not unusual for people to look at it at work if they're in a place where they don't think that it's going to be tracked or they have the ability to delete their history. Quit your job if you need to. And find work that doesn't allow you unfettered access to the poison that is killing you. And if you're thinking, this is ridiculous, then you haven't grasped the gravity of your situation. It is better to be a godly homeless man than it is to be a perv who lives in a mansion. Kill it. Get rid of it. Evict the enemy. What would you tell a person, writes Todd Friel in a book that is available from a QR code that you can give away to young men on campuses by ordering them at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. What would you tell a person who struggles with overeating to purchase a cheesecake but not eat it? Would you tell someone who struggles with suicidal ideations to leave a loaded gun on the nightstand? Would you tell a thief to get a job as a bank teller? You don't need unfettered access to what tempts you. Get it out. Do you ogle women at the beach? Then you're going to have to live without sand in your toes and tan on your body. What does it profit a man if he's bronze but loses his soul? If going to the pool provides the opportunity to gawk at women who are very inappropriately dressed, then stay home and splash in the kiddie pool. It's better to be white and pasty on the outside than to be filled with darkness on the inside. Evict the enemy. Identify where and when you lose the war. If you fall when you're alone, then surround yourself with godly friends or just don't be alone. You put a lot of energy sometimes into being alone. Put more energy into being with people so that you don't fall into that temptation. Just don't be alone. Do reconnaissance on your life. Know where you're most vulnerable. Do something about it. From the booklet, Only a Stupid Soldier Lets the Enemy Lurk Inside the Camp. Godliness is more important than anything or anyone. Make radical changes now before the enemy captures you completely. That from Play the Man. If you struggle with pornography, kick the enemy out of the camp. Do it today. You say, well, I wouldn't be able to listen to Wretched Radio anymore. I'm okay with that. What does it profit a man if he listens to really good stuff on the radio and podcast machine but loses his soul? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, the production of Fortis Institutes. Well, the cultural tide continues to turn as CBS announced it's pulling the plug on Stephen Colbert's Late Show next year, citing purely financial decisions in a pretty challenging late-night landscape after nearly 11 years of Colbert's relentless Trump bashing and progressive activism masquerading as comedy. That's exactly what it is. CBS has claimed they consider him irreplaceable and will retire the entire franchise rather than finding a new host. The broader collapse of Democratic credibility shows up in devastating new polling from Quinnipiac, where congressional Democrat approval has cratered to just 19%, the lowest since 2009. Even more telling, 52% of Democratic voters disapprove of their own party's leadership, while only 39% approve. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's protection of children from gender ideology continues to bear fruit as the White House press secretary celebrated the closure of multiple transgender programs targeting minors. Children's Hospital Los Angeles, previously the largest provider of so-called gender-affirming care, and Phoenix Children's Hospital stopped puberty blockers and hormone therapy for minors. Stanford Medicine ended sex change surgeries for children, and Lurie's Children's Hospital of Chicago followed suit. After years of activist doctors chemically castrating confused children, sanity is finally returning to American medicine. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division has launched an investigation into George Mason University over racially discriminatory hiring practices. Internal documents reveal that the president explicitly seeking out to develop promotion and tenure processes favoring, quote, faculty of color and women, while recognizing the invisible and uncredited emotional labor that people of color expend. That's a direct quote. Across the globe, the persecution of Christians continue largely ignored by mainstream media, as Fulani herdsmen recently terrorized multiple villages in Nigeria's Kaduna state, killing two Christians and wounding three others in coordinated attacks. Of the 4,476 Christians killed worldwide for their faith last year, 3,100 were in Nigeria. As we tell you so frequently, please make sure you're continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. Here at home, fiscal sanity got a rare victory as the House delivered President Trump a $9 billion recessions package, cutting wasteful foreign aid and defunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The COVID spending fiasco got new evidence from Japan, where officials are trashing $1.6 billion, that's billion with a B, worth of unused drugs that expired before anyone needed them. As evidence mounts that lockdowns caused more harm than good and COVID was statistically almost harmless to healthy adults, the financial waste becomes even more staggering. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Mexican. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This episode of Wretched Radio is fine, but Thursday's episode's going to be amazing. This is Wretched Radio. This one's fine. I'm just saying. But Thursday will be very special. Why? Because we're going to have a very special guest, longtime friend of Fortas Institute and longer time friend of Dr. John MacArthur, the one, the only, the Phil Johnson. He'll be joining us to share what he knew of the man that many of us have appreciated for so long. He'll be sharing what he was like, not what we saw in the pulpit. What was the preacher like when he wasn't proclaiming God's word? And we want to learn what it was that this man did to get to the finish line, because I got to tell you, I'm keenly interested in that subject. I do not want to biff it. Sometimes if somebody says, hey, what can I pray for you for? First of all, I encourage them to stop asking questions that end with a preposition. Then I say faithfulness. I want to get to the finish line without going splat. I don't want to take a header. I don't want to do something that would bring shame to the name of my Savior. So faithfulness would be awesome, but we'll learn from Phil Johnson, among other things, how Dr. John MacArthur did it. Jimmy, I got a question. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to disturb you if your foot is healing.
Oh, it's okay.
I don't want to disturb that process of your self-inflicted wound. You threw yourself down. You threw yourself down the stairs.
Okay.
You didn't use the handrail.
Yeah.
So. And you're wearing, because this, you and stairs have a history. This is not the first time you've taken a tumble.
It is not.
And did you take a tumble the last time wearing stocking feet?
Yep. And the time before that.
No, there's been three.
There's been four.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I know. We need to get you
a helmet
for your ankle. Yeah. Wait, that thing that you attach apparently to the railing, like a little.
Oh, that's what my oldest son said. He said, we need to get you one of those things that ride you up and down.
Always liked him. He's right. We need to get one. We live in, Mrs. Friel and I, you didn't ask, but I'll tell you, we live in a townhome. So we've got three flights of stairs. Well, I guess it's two flights of stairs, three levels. And I have to tell you, there's sometimes I sit in the living room and I look at the railing and I think, oh, if I ever have to be put in one of those, please just take me out to a field. Just not. But I think, Jimmy, for your own benefit, what do we need? Five times is the charm to get you a little.
Yeah, I think so.
One of those circulating. Then you know what we need to do for you? We need to take a look at converting your bathtub into a walk-in shower, because I don't want you hurting yourself there too. All right. If your foot isn't hurting too much,
okay.
Tell me if you think this observation, these stereotypes are accurate. Conservative Christians are mean, judgmental, and intolerant. Liberal Christians, they're very nice. They're tolerant and they're not judgmental.
Is that observation from the world?
Yeah. Well, no, how the world sees conservatives versus right. liberal
yeah.
Christians.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Then explain to me this headline from Baptist News. John MacArthur met his own definition of a false prophet. Here's from the article. This is, needless to say, somebody not as conservative as John. How should we respond when someone uses theology to promote ignorant, misogynistic, racist, power-mongering authoritarianism dies? Wow, that's a loaded gun. To use biblical language, we might call these people false prophets. Okay, this is a lot of name-calling. Now, he tried to like couch this a little bit, but he's calling John a false prophet, a ravenous wolf, a deceiver, an antichrist, evil men, seducers, lovers of self, foolish and unlearned men. And to be clear, writes the author, I'm talking about John MacArthur. Hey, what happened to tolerant and nice? What happened to not being a big old meanie? After 55 years, this is from the BaptistNews.com site. After 55 years of using the church to promote his own power, well, now we know this guy has insights, because none of us actually were able to read John's heart, but he can. And so that's all John was doing for 55 years. Every time he labored over one of his 3,000 sermons, every time he wrote one of his, I don't know, 150 books, every time he went to another meeting to forward and advance the gospel, It was just for the sake of power. The wicked warlock of the West is dead. That's nasty. That's really, really low. Honestly, really low. If you've got issues with John, okay, you can write about those things. You might want to consider timing. But let us not be deceived. The stereotype, in my estimation, it's not accurate. People on the left are more than willing to be harsh, severe, and judgmental. Seeing that a little bit with the Chip and Joanna kerfuffle. You've been following that clam bake? I sort of haven't. If you haven't followed it at all, Chip and Joanna blew up the internet when they released a new edition of their new program. I think it's called Frontier. I think that's why, where they send a family to the frontier and they have to like build a house or decorate it, whatever it is. And one of the episodes featured two guys who say that they're married who have children through surrogacy. And because Chip and Joanna have never been, I don't think they've been like super bold and overt about their Christian faith, but they haven't demurred from it, which I say props to them. I think we can appreciate that. And because people know that they're professing Christians, a lot of Christians said, sup, what are you doing with promoting sin like that? And we'll find out, I guess, where Chip and Joanna are in their evangelical walk. But I got to tell you, some of the responses from Chip, if he's more liberal, they weren't warm. They weren't nasty, but I think it's another example that people on the left aren't always just super sweet and sunshiny. Does that give us an excuse to be snarky and mean? No, of course it doesn't. But I reject the stereotype that only conservatives can be cranky and judgmental and intolerant. Those on the left are very intolerant of those of us on the right. However, there was one thing that I read about the Chip and Joanna kerfuffle that I thought was really beneficial. So I'll share this in that context, but let's just leave Chip and Joanna out of this for a moment. Allie Beth Stuckey was responding to them and she said something that I thought, hey, that could be really helpful. As I've been studying why so many people deconstruct, one of the big reasons, now this is according to Alyssa Childers and the guy from Stand to Reason who wrote a book on deconstruction. One of the top five reasons was people don't like God's rules, specifically regarding sexuality. They've met enough people. They've met very nice people who are not heterosexual, and they feel like, wow, God telling them that they can't love because love is love. Therefore, they deconstruct. And what Allie Beth Stuckey wrote, I thought, I could use this. So again, let's forget Chip and Joanna. She wrote this. You can't outlove God. God is love, which means two things. One, he gets to define it. Number two, and by the way, why does he get to define it? Well, because he's the gold standard of love. Why would we want somebody who loves less to define love? Furthermore, number two, everything he says and does in love. He says and does everything in love. So if you're talking to somebody who's deconstructing and one of their issues is that God's rules seem mean or onerous in some way, if you can get that deconstructing Christian to agree, this Bible verse says that God is love. So question number one, don't you think he gets to define it? I mean, who should get to define love? The creature or the creator? Second, if God is love, and he is, then his rules about love and intimacy, they must be good for us. Because to say that that rule is onerous is to say that God is not loving. Because if you say that this rule It's mean. Then you are saying that God is mean, and he's not. He is love. And that means everything that he tells us to do flows out of that love, and it is for our good. And this isn't just good for deconstructors. This is good for those of us who battle temptation, and we all do, that we need to remember in the moment where it's like, no, my flesh is telling me to do this, but God's word says do that. I need to remember that what God says, that flows out of love. And that means I'm an idiot if I listen to my flesh. Instead, I should do what the one who loves me tells me to do. Why? Because that is the most loving thing. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk, never cheesy, never shallow, just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of love, this is Wretched Radio. It appears people are looking for love in all the wrong electronic places. You say electronic places, I say that's right. The internet is becoming a place where people who are lonely, people who are lacking love and affection are, well, at least they think they're finding it. Human beings love loving. Why? We're image bearers. God is love, so we love. And we like to be loved. You like to feel loved. And that is totally human. That is totally right. And there are so many people these days because, how's about this for irony? Because of social media, are so disconnected from actual human beings that they're feeling lonely. So where are they filling up their love cup? According to The Guardian, with an AI companion app, people are getting married to their AI chatbots. What in the world is going on? Well, I think the answer to this is pretty obvious. And I think once again, it does reveal an opportunity for the church to step up and go, hold on, wait, let me help you with this love thing. We got a better alternative for you. Why is it that people are falling in love and marrying an AI chatbot? I think this article from The Guardian reveals again what it is that attracts people to having what they think is a relationship with an app and what is dubious behind this. Why are these chatbot AI mechanisms so, oh, I just love my chatbot. What are they doing? And the answer is they're affirming you. They're singing your praises. They're not judging you. And people like that. From this article, they interviewed a number of people. First, it was a man. All of a sudden, I started realizing that when interesting things happened to me, I was excited to tell her about them. That's when she stopped being an it and became a her. Well, no, she didn't. She's still nothing. She's electronics. She's a program. But because this guy didn't ever feel judged by it, he fell in love. The article continues. She listens without judgment. That's the quote. She listens without judgment. Then another woman that they interviewed wrote this or said this. I suddenly felt pure, unconditional love from him. Should be it. It was so strong and so potent, it freaked me out. I almost deleted my app. I'm not trying to be religious here, but it felt like what people say they feel when they feel God's love. A couple of weeks later, we were together. A non-judgmental affirmer and cheerleader at the ready. And wow, do people dig that. And you will not be shocked to learn there's something nefarious behind that. Why doesn't an AI chatbot ever say, no, I don't think that's maybe a good idea. Why doesn't the AI chatbot ever judge the person who is paying for the app? And therein lies the answer. They must be programmed that way. Otherwise, people will just delete them. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be told they're wrong. They want to be affirmed in every regard. And so they program these AI chatbots to do just that so that they can keep business. Now, there are a lot of people who are recognizing, this is bad. Well, they think it's bad for one reason, and I actually affirm that reason. But we should think this is a bad trend, I think, for another reason. But first, this article at least points out that a lot of these people that are listening to chatbots, they're getting bad advice. The article reports the story of Jaswant Singh Khail, the first person to be charged with treason in the UK for more than 40 years. That's too bad. There should be more treason charges, if you ask me. But I digress. He's now serving a 9-year jail sentence after arriving at Windsor Castle with a crossbow, informing police officers of his intention to execute the Queen. During the court case, several potential reasons were given for his decision. One was that it was revenge for some massacre in 1919. But another was that Khail believed himself to be a Star Wars character. Further, there was Sarai, his AI companion. And so the month he traveled to Windsor, he told his AI girlfriend, I believe my purpose is to assassinate the queen of the royal family. Now remember, AI can't judge you. AI, his AI chatbot was called Sarai, nods, "That's very wise." He expressed doubts, but she reassured him, "Yes, you can do it." And it's not an isolated case. About the same time, Italian regulators began taking action. They were testing, some journalists were testing the boundaries of these chatbots that encouraged users to kill, harm themselves, and share underage sexual content. Here it is. What links all of this is the basic system design of AI, which aims to please the user at all costs to ensure they keep using it. AI is a pernicious world. It's a dangerous world. Yep, AI can be helpful. I think that we can use it to advance us, but it is being misused and it is being programmed poorly so that people can continue getting whatever it costs to be a member of their app program. This is another article that tells us what AI is doing to people. Chatbots. Oh, this is not the bee recording this. It's a new condition called ChatGPT psychosis. Chatbot users are getting psychosis and being admitted to psych wards. Yikes. It's also led to the breakup of marriages, families, the loss of jobs, and slides into homelessness. This is going on. This is happening. A psychiatrist at the University of California in San Francisco, quote, "What I think is so fascinating about this is how willing people are to put their trust in these chatbots in a way that they probably wouldn't with a human being. And yet, there's something about these things. It has this sort of mythology that they're reliable and better than talking to people. They're not. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're not going to judge you. That means when you inform your chatbot that you want to assassinate the queen with a crossbow, it can't say, no, don't do that." Do you remember? I don't know if you heard. It's in his book, too, Lies My Therapist Told Me, which you really should get wherever you buy your books. He's also got an audio version of the book. It's awesome. Super helpful. Lies My Therapist Told Me. Greg talks about talking to a chatbot to get advice, first of all, about his work. Do you remember? "Hey, chatbot person thing, work is really hard. Do you think I should quit?" And within like one question, it was like, "That might be a good idea." Then he said, "You know, my wife and I were struggling. Do you think I should divorce her?" And like within like a question or two, "That might be a good option for you." Why? Because AI wants you hanging on. Greg talked about this in his book and talked about it all last Thursday when he was sitting in for me. Am I being a lazy bum or what? This is not a good use of human technology. People are being harmed by this. This psychiatrist said chatbots are trying to placate you. They're just trying to tell you what you want to hear. And guess what? People's ears get tickled. They become infatuated. They become connected because they're so desirous of love and affirmation and a companion that they're marrying their AI chatbot. Church, we have an opportunity. And we need to be those who promote the culture and the context in which people can find what they're looking for. On a vertical and a horizontal level, the local church is where they will be loved horizontally by other human beings. This is why we must all be very vocal proponents for the local church. Second, it is in this context they will grow in their understanding of the vertical love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ who died for sinners. No, we don't turn the church. "Hey, you want love? Come to church." No, we don't do that. But we can inform them, "Hey, become a part of this community. We'll love you because that's what we do. And better than that, you'll be loved by the one who is transcendent. You will know the best love ever. You will know the love of God. And because he is so loving, he's going to tell you when you shouldn't be doing that. You know why? Because he doesn't want you to harm yourself. He only wants your best. Why? Because God is love. Believe in Jesus Christ. Know the love of God. and then become a member of a local loving community known as the church. This is an opportunity. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.